Can you hear me now? Well, that's a good question, Barry. Can God hear us now? He can. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Huh?
Even with our mouth shut.
Especially when our mouth shut. Father God, as we come before you this morning, we're grateful and thankful. We're thankful, Lord, that you sent your Holy Spirit to be with each and every one of us. We're thankful, Lord, for this book that series that we're going through called Frequency. Lord, help us to hear the frequency of your voice instead of the world around us. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we have to be together as a family. Thank you, Lord, for the things that are going on in our lives. And Lord, we lift all of those people up that need you in prayer. The people that need healing from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet. For the people that are traveling, that they travel safely. Thank you, Lord, for the things that you're doing in our lives and helping us grow as we step out. Help us not to be afraid to speak your word in love. Thank you, Lord, for the things that you're doing. And thank you, Lord, that as I speak today, that people hear your voice, not mine. Thank you, Lord, that you are the one that has put this message on each of our hearts as we grow and learn from it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As I said in the prayer, we're going through a series book called Frequency by Robert Morris. I know Jody talked last week, and I didn't get to hear it because I wasn't here. We were spending time with family in Christ. I have a little side note story. We met up with her Aunt Mary and Uncle Mel. We call him Aunt Mel because he always paints his toenail a different color because it's a conversation starter. And we were talking, and Mary, Krina's aunt, was hobbling around because she kicked this basket that was in her hallway. And she said, God told me to move the basket. She's like, yeah, I can walk around, it'll be fine. Well, she kicked it a couple times, but this time she thinks she broke her toe because she kicked it. I said, did you finally move it? And she's like, yes, I finally moved it. But how many times did God have to talk to her? Like 3 or 4 times. So last week, Jody talked about valuing his voice. As far as I know, I listened to the little piece online. She should have come up with 5 things that you needed to do. The first one was to make an appointment. If we don't make appointments, a missed appointment is a disappointment. That means if we make an appointment, we're going to set a date, we're going to set a time, and we're going to set a place to spend time with God. But there's also in here that I thought was really awesome. It says, be still and worship God. How many of us are still and listen? How many of us worship before we listen to God's voice? God wants us to prepare that atmosphere. So this week I've been trying for the last 3 or 4 days to sit in my living room. I don't have completely a time set, but I sat in my living room because a few years ago, Creed and I bought this picture. It's a map, or it has trees and it has a brook going through it. And depending on how the light goes on it, it does kind of the different colors in the picture. It's really cool. So I was sitting there and I was trying to set some time aside for God so I could hear his voice. And then we're supposed to pray and read God's word. The series he talks about, people ask him, what am I supposed to read? He's like, whatever's inside the book. It's like, we read the outside. I got that memorized. The Holy Bible. I got that memorized. Whatever God turned to a chapter. He also says get a book that's easy to read because you're not studying it, you're just reading the word. But when you're praying, God says to pray with whatever's on your heart to pray. We're praying for Krina's aunt. We're praying for whoever needs prayer. So the challenge last week to set a time aside to spend with God. Today we're going to talk about the call for confirmation. Our focus is what we can know that God is really speaking to us by asking him to confirm his word through the Bible, through godly counsel and circumstances. So what's your favorite comfort food in the fall? Is it soup? Is it anything?
Chili.
What?
Pumpkin pie.
Pumpkin pie. Any comfort food. So we need to learn how to really hear what God is saying to us. I heard something. I heard a voice. Do we ask, is that really you? We should. It's biblical. You should ask, is that really you, God? The Bible tells us that it's not only good, okay, to ask for God's confirmation, but it is wise also to ask him to confirm his word. Mark 16:20 says, and they went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Confirm through the word. God confirmed through the word as the disciples went out and preached the word. Does he confirm it for us? Does he tell us to go out and preach the word? My brother right now is in Brazil. He goes on a mission trip every year. They built,
At least one.
At this time of year, he always goes to Brazil. He said that when they first got there, 7 of the workers gave their life to Christ. And then I was listening to, he tries to do this live stream. They built a church in 4 days. They used concrete, cinder blocks, and built this church in 4 days. And then they dedicated it last night. It was awesome to watch. And I didn't exactly hear how many people gave their life to Christ last night because it kind of, I think his battery died. But he went out and preached the word, gave his testimony, told people I was messed up when I came to God. Why? Because God wants us to be messed up so he can help us. Matthew 18:16 says, but if he will not hear, take with you one or two or more, that by the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses, every word may be established. We should have more than one person. It's good to go out and preach the gospel. It's good to talk to people. But you also want somebody to confirm what they're saying. 2 Corinthians 13:1 says, this will be the third time I am coming to you. By the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses, every word shall be established. This is Paul talking. This is his third message. How do we call for confirmation? And how do we confirm it? Hey, Lord, I want this, or something needs to happen. Where am I supposed to go next? I don't know. Is that you, God? And how do I know? Scripture. We have to be careful with scripture, though, because if you pull a scripture out, you need to make sure that you have the right interpretation and not your own, because it's easy to interpret the Bible. People can throw interpretations at us all the time. My favorite part of this, learning about this, was the story of Gideon. In Judges 6, Gideon meets up with the Lord. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under a terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joseph at Berzitis, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Gideon said to him, oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, then why then has all of this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Then the Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hands of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? So he said to him, oh my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. How many of us have felt like that? The least of the least. But the Lord is talking to Gideon. He's having this conversation with Gideon. And as I was listening to this, the pastor talked and said, they believe that this is really Jesus talking to Gideon. He's sitting there having this conversation with him because he says, I, the Lord. He's the angel of the Lord, but he's I, the Lord. Like, can you imagine sitting there having a conversation with Jesus? How awesome would that be? How do you know that you don't? Are you really listening? And the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you, and you will defeat the Midianite as one man. Then he said to him, if now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who talked with me. Show me a sign. Gideon asked for a sign. Rain just raised his hands. There's my sign. Gideon asked for a sign. He's talking to Jesus, and he's asking for a sign. Is that a relationship? Absolutely. Do not depart from here, I pray, until I come to you and bring you my offering and set it before you. And he said, I will wait till you come back. Jesus tells Gideon, I will wait. You go and prepare something for me and I will wait. So Gideon went in and prepared a young goat and unleavened bread from ephah flour. And the meat he put in a basket, and he put the broth in the pot, and he brought it out to him under the terebinth tree, presented them. So if you think about it, for us to prepare a meal, how long does it take, depending on what kind of meal? We can throw it in the microwave, it'll be done in 3 minutes. Do you realize how long it would have taken Gideon to prepare this for the Lord? Wouldn't have been a quick meal, but the Lord waited. Why would the Lord wait for Gideon? Because he wanted to have a relationship with him. He wanted Gideon to know that he was there for him. The angel of the Lord said to him, take the meat and the oven bread, and lay it on this rock, and pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put out the end of his staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened bread, and the fire rose out of the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread. The angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. So he has this conversation. He gives him his offering. The Lord takes it and leaves. But the Lord comes back and he tells him, it's not up there, but this is chapter 7. He goes and he tells Gideon to form his army, 35,000 men. And so he does. He goes and he calls all these men to him. And God says, no, there's way too many of these men. There's way too many. So God tells Gideon, tell the man, if you're scared, you can go away. So he did. If you guys are afraid, go away. Can you believe how many people would leave? I'm scared, I'm leaving. I think I would have. I'm leaving. I'll pray for you, but it'll be okay. So there was 10,000 that left. God said, no, there's still too many. Do you know why God was telling him this? Because he knew that if there was so many men, he would have taken the glory instead of giving the glory to God. God's having this conversation with Gideon, and he says, take the men down to the river and have them, and anybody that laps up the water like a dog, put those guys aside. So he does. And in Robert Morris's telling the story, he says, Gideon's thinking, he's going to get rid of these crazy people that are lapping up the water. Those must be the crazy ones. God says, I want you to keep those 300 men. Confirmation. He's confirming this to Gideon. Gideon asks for another sign in Judges 6, 36 through 40. So Gideon said to God, if you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said, look, I shall put a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece only, and the ground is dry on all the ground, then I shall know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said. And it was so. And then he rose the next morning and squeezed the fleece together, and he wrung the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. Then Gideon said to God, do not be angry. He's asking God again, don't be angry with me, but let me speak once more. Let me test, I pray, just one more with the fleece. Let it now be dry only on the fleece, but all of the ground let there be dew. And the Lord did so. It was dry on the fleece only, and there was dew all over the ground. He's having this conversation. Please confirm that this is really you. Please confirm this is really you. And then the war. Judges 7, 9 through 15 says, it happened the same night that the Lord said to him, arise and go down to the camp, for I will deliver into your hands. But if you are afraid to go down to the camp with Pur, your servant, and you shall hear what they say. And afterwards, your hands shall be strengthened to go down against the camp. And then he went down with Pur, his servant, to the outpost of armed men who were in the camp. Now the Midianites and the Amalekites, all the people of the east, were lying in the valley as numerous as locusts. A lot of people, a lot of men, and their camels were without number, as the sand by the seashore in multitude. And when Gideon had come, there was a man telling a dream to his companion. And he said, I have had a dream. To my surprise, a loaf of barley bread tumbled into the camp of Midian. It came to a tent and struck it so that it fell and overturned, and the tent collapsed. Then his companion answered and said, this is nothing else but the sword of Gideon, the son of Joaz, a man of Israel. Into his hands God has delivered Midian and the whole camp. And it was so. And when Gideon heard the telling of its dream and its interpretation, that he worshiped. He returned to the camp of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord has delivered the camp of Midian into your hand. He had this conversation with God. God confirmed three times that it was him. And then just because God loved him so much, he said, I'm going to give you this. Go down and listen. And he did. And God delivered the Midianites into Gideon's hands like he had promised. Is it great to have a conversation with God? Yes, it should be. Why is it so important that we ask God for confirmation when we believe that he may be speaking to us about something? What are some examples? Robert Morris says that there's three ways to call for confirmation, and he does this literature thing. He like compares words. So his alliteration is what he called it, which is to remember things. He said his word, his wisdom, and his ways. There's three things that you know that you can get confirmation from God. He's like, well, that was only three. Let's do three more. His principles, his people, and his peace. There's three more ways. His characters, his character, his counsel, and his calm. And this series, how a caller for confirmation, there was three things that he was touching on. One, does it line up with the Bible? God's voice will never disagree with God's word. Think about that for a minute. God's voice will never disagree with God's word. Matthew 19, 3 through 8 says, the Pharisees also came to him, testing him and saying to him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason? And he answered and said to them, have you not read that he who made them at the beginning, them male and female, and said, for this reason, a man shall leave his mother, his father and mother, and be joined to his wife, and shall two shall become one flesh. So then, they are no longer two, but one flesh. What God has joined together, let no man separate. They said to him, why did Moses command to give certificate of divorce to put her away? He said to them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, permit you to divorce your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. So when he's talking about this, he said, Robert Morris was saying, okay, it's not about the people. God didn't ever want divorce. But God didn't want divorce because he loves us. And he knew that divorce would create hurt and pain. Which I thought was really awesome because I come from a divorced family. And it did cause pain. But there was also protection in that pain because my dad was a little crazy and tried to commit suicide. So if we had been there, who knows if he would have shot us instead of trying to shoot himself. But God didn't want divorcement. He didn't want divorce because he knew it would cause pain. The example he gave is like, God doesn't want anybody to be in an accident because it would cause pain. That was a better one. Psalm 119, 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. How many people find the scriptures to support what they believe or hope that God is saying? This can be dangerous too, because if I pick a word or if I pick a scripture out of here and I say, scripture for the day, what God wants me to do. Do not listen to what the prophets are saying, prophesying to you. How can I take that out of context? Very easy. You need to have the whole meaning and not just pick a word or just a verse. The second one is, does godly counsel agree? This one was interesting to me because I was like, godly counsel. How do you get godly counsel? Proverbs 12:15 says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. So if I want counsel, do I pick somebody off the street? Probably not. You should be picking somebody that you knows you, for one thing, is a good person that has scriptural knowledge, is wise in the scriptures, somebody that is going to call you out on your crap. Think you're moving too fast, wait. Because I'm going to pack up and leave tomorrow. Where are you going? Doesn't matter. God's telling me to go. Are you sure? In the series, when I was listening to it, he talks about a guy that Bill Hybels has art in the book, where he talks to this guy and he tells the guy that he spends time with God every day. That's the most important appointment that he has is his appointment with God every day. I'm working on that because I want to have that kind of relationship with God. He comes up to him after he talks and this other guy comes up to him after his talk, talks to him, and he says, how do you have that time? I don't have that time. I get up at 5:30, I leave and I drive to the city and I do this and I do that. How do you have that time? He said, it's important to have that time, always. Okay. So the guy leaves, and Bill's thinking, he'll probably never see him again. A couple months later, he comes back, and he says, can I have a conversation with you? And he's like, yeah. He said, will you and your wife come over for dinner? And he's like, let me talk to the boss. Something Karina would say. Or I would say Rikrina. So they have the conversation. They went over, and he's like, I want to show you something. Takes Bill Hybels to this area in his house, and he has a rocking chair. And he said, after we had that conversation, I went out and bought a rocking chair. I really like rocking chairs, and I went out and bought a rocking chair. And it faced outside. He said, and I sit in that rocking chair every day and have time with God. And Bill Hybels, before, when he was walking up, he said his countenance had totally changed from the time that they had the first conversation to this one. So he sat in the chair every day. And he was in advertising or something, and he quit his job in advertising. He said, I'm good, I'm really good. And he's like, he goes back to Bill and he says, I think I'm supposed to quit my job. And Bill's like, okay. And he's like, I want you to go back to that rocking chair and make sure that you're talking to God. God's talking to you, because I don't want to be, he wanted to help him with the church. He said, I don't want to be responsible, but I want you to go back and talk to God about it. A couple months later, he comes back and he said, I quit my job. And he helped run the church for a while. Then, comes back again, and he tells Bill, he says, I'm supposed to go help this guy in Colorado start a church. I'm going to go back into advertising business, and I'm going to go help this guy start this church. Bill's like, I think you should go back to the chair. Do you understand what I'm saying? He tells him, he doesn't just tell him, good job, just do it. We have to be careful with people, because we can say, somebody will tell you, no, that's not right. Somebody else will tell you, no, that's not right. But if you go to the third person and they say it's okay, which person are you going to pick? Usually the third person, because that's what you want to do. But that's not always the wise counsel.
Proverbs 19:20-21. Listen to the counsel and receive instruction, that you may be wise in your latter days. There are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel will stand.
So we have to be careful.
Proverbs 24:6 says, for by wise counsel you will wage your own war, and in the multitude of counselors there is safety.
I was thinking about this, and I'm like, I could wage war. I want this. I want this. I want this done. I want to do this. God's like, no, you need to wait. Be still. Be still. The worship part was my favorite when I was reading that, when I listened to the part where Jody talked, because I was like, worship, worship, worship. So this week I was like, okay. And I had this song running in my head, and I still didn't find a song. And it was like through something, and it came to my head, but I couldn't figure out which song it was, so I just went on YouTube and was just listening to a whole bunch of songs. So I was worshiping, putting God first, worshiping, getting into that atmosphere with the Lord. I want wise counsel. I don't want it on a whim. I want to quit my job. No, I want to quit my job, but I don't want to quit my job. I'm comfortable. Why am I comfortable? Am I supposed to be comfortable in my job? Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe God's telling me to do something else. Am I listening? See what's going through my head? I need wise counsel. My wife would tell me right now, don't quit your job, which is probably really wise counsel. Then she would say, let's pray about it and see what the Lord wants us to do. That's wise counsel too. And the third one is, do I have peace? And when I was thinking about do I have peace, the thing that came to my mind was this, when we bought our house. People are like, can you imagine how many pieces of paper you have to sign? Doesn't it make your heart just race? And no, we went in and we signed for our house. And we didn't have any anxiety. No, it was all peaceful. It was like, okay, this is where we need to be. Sometimes I think if we had knew the neighbors, we probably wouldn't have moved there. But we are the calm in the room. We're the calm in the neighborhood. We don't cause trouble. We complain a little bit. Sorry, Lord. A lot. Colossians 3:15 says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you have been called in one body, and be thankful. We want peace in our lives. We want it to rule in our hearts. Because being the body of Christ, how many people in the world need peace and love and joy? Most people around me are looking for the next thing. They're missing what God wants them to have. That peace, that relationship, communication. Comes back again every time I think about it. Comes back when I walked into this door so many years ago. The pastor said, it's not about religion, it's about a relationship. relationship with God, relationship with...
Why is it so important to have peace about confirmation? Is there something you believe God might be speaking to you right now? I don't know.
Father, is that you? Am I hearing you? Or am I hearing all the other voices?
So if you're hearing God right now, what is the next step you need to take to confirm that His message is to you? You need to find a place, find a time, get quiet, worship, take some time and worship God, sing those songs, make up songs. Robert Morris tells a story about how he's preaching to these people and he said, I didn't tell you guys this, but I've had back pain for the last 9 months. It's like somebody's stabbing me in the middle of the back. And he said, I got in that chair every day. I got there every day. Spent time with God every day. And that day, I was supposed to be somewhere, and I said, okay, I have a little extra time. I'm just going to sit here and worship. I'm going to worship. He said, when he was singing the song, Praises to God. He said, I was hoping I was on key, but if not, it was okay. That was my favorite. Like, we all of us have a joyful noise. He said, but I was singing my own words to God. I was singing about what I want, needed, and what I wanted. And he said, I changed the words, and that's okay. He said, God healed me right there in that time of worship. So if we really want that relationship, that communion, and that stuff with God, we need to be serious about it. It's easy to get up here and preach it because I've lived it for a week. Now my challenge is to continue to live it. Is it easy? It should be, because that should be my first important, that should be the most important thing that I do in my day, is spend time with God. Because He loved me first and He loves me best. Is it easy? Absolutely, because I'm changing my mindset to do that instead of thinking, oh, I need to watch TV or I need 15 minutes of more sleep. Call for confirmation. There was three things that were really important. One, the first was, does it line up with the Bible? So anything you're looking for, you have to figure out, does it line up with the Bible? The second, does godly counsel agree? And third, do you have peace about it? Do you? I don't know. I want to have peace about it. I should have peace about it.
Okay, God has me, there's times I'm like, what's next? It's right in my backyard. People, loving people, trusting that God's going to take care of everything, not having fear. The biggest thing I fear is people. What people think, what people say. What if the wrong words come out of my mouth? Guess what? I'm human. The wrong words are always going to come out of my mouth. But if I'm listening to God and God tells me to do something and I don't do it, I missed an opportunity. I missed an appointment, which is disappointing. That's okay because I can get the next one. But I have to be aware of it first.
Okay, close your eyes. Ask God what He wants you to get out of this message. Ask Him, am I really learning what I need to be learning? Confirm that just like Gideon, you can have that relationship with God. Thank you, Lord, that you're willing to wait for us to be sure that we're hearing you. Thank you for not giving up on us. Thank you for letting us question, is that you? More than once, more than twice, even if it's more than three or four times, thank you for waiting and listening to us and answering us in the easy ways, in the unusual ways, in all your ways. Thank you, Lord, that you give us clarity and confirmation when we have things that concern us. Thank you, Lord, as a group, that we just thank you and believe that what's going on right now is moving us into the next area of what we're supposed to do as a church. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we have to be together and to grow together, and thank you, Lord, for forgiveness and for healing from the heart. Thank you, Lord, that as we continue to move forward, that we know that we listen to your voice,
and that we can come to each other with godly counsel, ask for godly counsel, and that you will help each of us hear your voice better so that we know that it's godly counsel, and help us to know when someone who said it isn't right, that we actually take that into consideration instead of just saying, I don't believe you. Help us to go back to your word and say, is this truth? Teach us, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that's here. Thank you, Lord, that the Holy Spirit lives inside of each of us. Thank you, Lord, for the words that just continue to come out of our mouths that are uplifting and encouraging. And thank you, Lord, for the love that you have for us. And thank you, Lord, we ask for peace and blessing and love and health and healing, health and all of the things that we need, Lord, we just ask for them right now. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.